Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So get your it's the Whip Around.
Especially that one. Okay, welcome to the Whip Around, the greatest show that says the most terrible things off mic and the weirdest, most interesting news on mic. I am
accurate.
I am Sean Hayes, spelled phonetically, and with me, literally in studio,
Dr. Phil LaPorta, spelled correctly.
Yeah,
I hope with one L. Damn
not,
it,
it's not Philippe.
With one L.
That is true. And through the magic of the internet with us is...
Dave DiOrio, spelled with no apostrophes.
And no apologies.
That's good. I like that. No apostrophes and no apologies.
The boys are back indeed. And I wanted to quickly, just at the very top, say thank you to Simca Griffin for coming on and having a great time with us while we talked about fucking spiders this past week. That was awesome. Also, I guess, special shout out to Chupa the Bird. who was also very entertaining on the show. Did you boys get a chance to listen to that episode?
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed her.
Are you talking about a bird or the person?
The person. But the bird was neat. But yeah, Simca seemed like she would have been awesome to talk to.
She wants to come back, so maybe you'll get your chance.
I hope so.
If you play your cards right, you magician, you.
Ha.
Dave, did you get a chance to listen?
Yeah, of course.
I
was on the show.
Did I sound good?
That's right.
Not really. You weren't your best.
But it was fun because it was the first time we've actually had a call-in from one of the co-hosts. And a little behind the scenes information. It was my first time doing a conference call on Skype, so I did like an add Dave DiOrio,
really?
And it like ringed him. It was like, yeah, Dave's not there, and I was like, well, on with the show. And then right when we needed him, like Dave's face like peeked in, like hello. So I was like holding up one finger, like hold on, this is perfect.
No way.
Hold on.
I thought you just held up your phone to the mic.
No,
I'm so impressed with you.
It was a tech miracle.
You get a Desi.
Sean's big time now, baby.
Yeah, I'm the real deal.
We've come so far.
Use like apps and stuff.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. Pretty soon, this diaper is leaving. Speaking
of the magic of technology.
That is true. Excellent segue opportunity.
Thank you.
Phil, remind everybody what you sort of did to follow up on my first ever episode of Sean's Cabinet of the Macabre. You knew to do something.
I had a thought about it because one of our sister podcasts here in the Lehigh Valley, if you will, because we're all Lehigh Valley residents, Sex and Violence, hosted by Gabe Mara and Ryan Snyder. Ryan has this bit on his show that he's doing called Hero, Not a Hero. And Sean's hero, Giles Corey.
No, this is my own thing. I wasn't aware I needed to get
calling
caught up
him
with them.
A macabre hero. And yeah. I reached out to Ryan and said, hey, man, on my addenda, which airs Thursdays at 4 o'clock on Facebook.com. Find us on the Whip Around. He responded and sent us his answer to, is Giles Corey in your book a hero, not a hero? Here's Ryan.
Yeah, so here is Ryan Snyder of Sex and Violence answering the question.
And Brogy's Food Truck LLC.
.com.
Hello, Whip Around crew. This is Ryan Snyder from Sex and Violence, here to weigh in on Sean's Cabinet of the Macabre.
Macabre.
So, we are in question on whether or not Giles Corey is a hero. I am going to take the stance and stand right there with Sean and say, hero.
Hey!
There is nothing more heroic or punk rock about throwing your middle finger up at the establishment and taking a stand for your own morals. And what a better way to go out than by saying, more rocks, punk rock, and a hero. Thanks, guys.
And thank you, Ryan, for sending us that clip. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know if it's Giles or Giles, but we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Rockman. You know what I do think
Giles
is interesting?
Man.
Well, I was thinking more like the Sonic Boom. Like that's what he said down there, because like Guile from Street Fighter 2. But no, Phil, what I thought was interesting was that he said more weight in history. But I think Ryan may have been influenced by your commercial.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I want to hear you yell more
rocks.
So,
you're welcome.
I just want that out there. But yeah, so I think we're all in agreement, Giles Corey, yeah, American hero. Macabre Absolutely. Hero. And don't worry, there is more macabre in it coming. It's going to be good times for that. But
and speaking of people who I think are heroes.
Exactly.
Nailing the
segue. We're segueing like a muffa.
Oh, hell yeah. Just want to say thank you to everybody who reached out and helped us out with the survey. We really do want to make the show better for you. And a whole bunch of people did it. And wouldn't you know, what did I say? It was 48 people. So 4 dozen we needed. And I was going to make it $20. We had 54.
We
last
did time. It! We did it. Well, you did it. Yous did it.
Yous did it.
Dave did not do a survey. He's not telling what he thinks.
Jerk. And that's okay. So what we're doing is at the end of the show, we're going to have a drawing for everybody who did the survey and submitted their email.
Do a thing. Flutter you can hear your name right here. That's the sound of potential energy right there.
That's right. Well, I mean,
it's kinetic, but that's potential money.
Listen, that was pretty good.
Physics.
Indeed.
Science.
It still matters.
Darn it.
Indeed. So I just want to say thank you. And also I just wanted to say, you know, we loved reading the responses. We're still looking at it and still looking through the data. I'm just going to need to see it and sit there with a bottle of rum and sort through it. But we got some wonderful comments. It was thanks for the fun drive on Wednesdays. You're welcome. This was really sweet. Longer episodes means more time with you. Aww.
Thanks, Mom.
Keep them coming. Love the twist on pop culture. How about this one? Go for topics more outside your comfort zone, guys. All right, that's cool. We'll give it a shot. We try and make each other uncomfortable all the time. In fact, I sat in Sean's chair without pants on when he wasn't here.
Is that what that smell is?
Yeah, I was taking care of your cat.
By the way,
like,
spider episode last week. You're welcome.
Sean is a real sex machine. Not sure who wrote that. love the posters with the episodes. So that's awesome. That's Kate. She's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, thanks for making me laugh, think and laugh some more on my miserable commute.
Hey, you're welcome. That's what it's all
Listen,
about.
This is what we do it for. We love doing it for you guys. We're having a good time. We want you to have a good time with us.
I'm doing it for the money, but this is nice.
I mean, it's a good start anyway. Yeah. So yeah. So, so listen, thanks for everybody that reached out. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it.
Good feelings all around. Awesome. Everybody's happy. Everybody's feeling warm. And yet, I feel a disturbance. A disturbance in the force. I feel something. Somebody is less than happy? Or what is that that I'm feeling? I got to ask. What made Dave angry this week?
So what did?
I went to the bookstore with my kids.
All right.
Not the bar, right?
I wanted to get them some Halloween stories for the fall season to, you know, read at bedtime.
Yeah, man.
And I found this book called Stumpkin.
I can't see what he's holding up to
show
Sean.
The cover looked vaguely like a tomato instead of a pumpkin, but maybe that's just...
Well, that's the idea of Stumpkin. He's a pumpkin without a stump.
Wait, he's got like a... It looks like he's kind of bald, you know? Like he's got
I relate.
You guys should, you know... Sympathize with the old Stumpkin there, huh?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. We have full coiffed heads of hair on this side of the microphone.
What are you talking about?
No,
Anyway, go on, Dave.
It's an angry, not bitchy.
I did purchase the Stumpkin book without reading it first. My youngest son was attracted to it.
Okay. Judging a book by its outside Stumpkin. There.
Well, he looked through it. I looked through it. I liked the artwork. Looked very nice. Kind of... I don't know. It's hard to describe.
We're seeing silhouettes, looking at like three tiers of pumpkins, maybe at a store.
The pumpkins are orange, but everything else is black and white.
Yeah, that sounds kind of neat.
It looks
it's kind of a cool.
Maybe Hiroshima-esque. They've been burned.
Let me just give you a quick plot synopsis of the Stumpkin story.
All right.
Shopkeeper puts pumpkins up for Halloween for the people to buy in the city, and pumpkins start to get purchased and turn into jack-o'-lanterns across the street in the apartment windows. So all the pumpkins are looking at their friends getting purchased and turned into jack-o'-lanterns. And you might think they would be scared about this, but no, they were really excited. They all want to be pumpkins.
Okay. They all want to be stabbed? Sure. Yeah, okay, no. Awesome.
So Stumpkin's feeling a little self-conscious. He's got some, you know, body image issues because he doesn't have a stump.
Yeah, maybe he's got friends like Dave.
He's clearly perfect in every other way, but he just doesn't have the stump.
I do relate to Stumpkin.
So everybody, all the other pumpkins get purchased and turned into jack-o'-lanterns. And one of the best parts of the book is even the gourd gets purchased and turned into a jack-o'-lantern. And Stumpkin doesn't get purchased. And at the end of the story, spoilers turn off here if you plan to go read Stumpkin on your own.
Right.
But the end of the story is Stumpkin does not get purchased by a single person. And the shopkeeper then turns Stumpkin into the jack-o'-lantern for the shop.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
okay.
Stumpkin's like, oh, I had a home all along. I was here the whole time.
I live at the orphanage, really.
Yes. No, this is not a good story. This is kindergarten. Okay, everyone get a partner. Oh, you don't have a partner? You could be a partner with me. I'll be your partner. I'll be your partner, Johnny, the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, what is this? I don't know what would have been a good resolution.
That was going to be my question.
Well, I would think somebody comes and they're like, oh, awesome. They do something with like the stumpless pumpkin that you couldn't do with one that's to show that you're special. Not that, don't worry, you'll be tolerated.
Yeah.
That really is what it is. It's like, look, maybe you're going to die alone, but hey.
At least you'll be
warm.
I think
that's my problem, is that he got shown pity, and we're supposed to feel good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who wrote this?
This is Lucy Ruth Cummins, and I think she also did the artwork, so shout out for that, but I don't know about the story.
Nice to be multi-talented like that, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, what's the point of being in a one-man band if you can play the harmonica and then you shit in the trumpet? Maybe you need somebody to help you out.
What the fuck was that?
Well, if you're going to handle all the jobs, get them done right. No, I'm mad too. Like, the more I think about it, it's like, it's hurtful.
It's sad.
All right, I'll keep you pumpkin. All
it's
right.
sad. It's not, well,
I mean,
it's
I'm
not
sure
great.
The shopkeeper was like, well, should I just throw Stumpkin away?
That would have been the worst ending.
I don't I don't think so.
You're going to die
at
alone.
At least have the dignity of being like, yeah, that's what happens. You
there
know?
There was one pathetic attempt by the shop cat to sit on top of Stumpkin to hide his abnormality, I guess, having a stump.
Okay, that I was about to say that it's better, but it's not. I was going to say,
I like
look,
the cat. I want to hear more about this cat.
I was going to say, nice, like, oh, look, you still have friends. The cat's keeping you company. That would have been an okay way to do it.
But apparently the cat dumped the pumpkin as well.
Right, when he found a better pumpkin with,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, all, okay, Phil, good work.
I got nothing.
Fine job. At least you're cute on this podcast.
Thanks. I'm the cute one.
I got to say, I much prefer Room on the Broom.
Have you ever
What?
Room on the Broom?
Room on the Broom? You haven't read Room on
no,
the Broom?
No, I haven't either.
Unlike,
I recommend that one, by the way. Check it out.
I do not have children, so I'm not going to read it to my cat.
Well, Dave, you're left with some anger issues after this book, this letdown of a book, yes?
Yeah, I'm upset about it.
So if you could say something to, what's her name, Cummins? Ruth Bader Lucy, Cummins or something?
Lucy Ruth Cummins.
Lucy Ruth Cummins. If you could say something to Ruth Bader Cummins here, what would you tell her? What's your one-star review in a sentence or two on this book?
I guess I would just say that people or pumpkins who are different shouldn't just be shown pity. They have value in their own individuality. Okay? Ruth? Lucy? Whatever the hell your name is.
Baldy pumpkins need love too.
That's right, we
America's
do.
America's youth about pumpkins.
That's right. Well, this has been yet
Happy
another.
Halloween,
this is another interesting subcategory of what made Dave angry this week. It's like the literature corner. It's not its first
kids
edition.
Lit,
I like
kids
it.
Kids lit corner.
Of what made Dave angry this week? So we're going to take a quick break here, and then we've got some fun. Well, actually, a ton of fun, goddammit.
Oh,
I'm not going to
yeah.
undersell this.
We brought enough for the class.
A veritable pant load of fun. You wait. You see. Don't believe me? Watch this.
Smoke bomb.
You didn't see it. It was a cool magic trick.
Hey, everybody. Are you interested in Philadelphia sports? Of course you are. Are you a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles? Yeah, you are. Are you frustrated by the Phillies? I know you are. Do you want to hear us go on about the Flyers? How about some Sixers news? Well, you need to check out Podadelphia. Subscribe to Podadelphia and we'll be in your inbox every Monday morning, giving a recap of the previous week's activities in Philadelphia sports. We're going to get you primed for the upcoming week, and we're going to make your drive into work a little more tolerable. So follow Podadelphia, subscribe to Podadelphia, review Podadelphia, and just overall embrace and love Podadelphia because it's really cool. Thanks.
So we return, and it is a good time had by all, and I get to honestly say in this case we were laughing over the break,
pretty
too.
Much the whole way through.
Yeah,
good energy.
So it's a good vibe. It's good times.
Oh, it's gonna get better.
And I'm gonna say it up top. We actually have two games ready. Apparently, I don't know anything about either of them, but Phil and Dave both have games. One of them will end up in
Sunday
your ears.
Sunday night bonus well, on Facebook.
Phil, I want to focus on the positive first. The what you get. One of them you'll hear today. Right now, when you're listening. And the other one is going to go up at some point, somewhere, Phil?
Sunday on Facebook.
Which, by the way, Phil is our curator of our Facebook page, and he's doing a damn fine job. So good job,
Phil.
Up,
thank you. Check it out if you don't check it out regularly. Some bonus content, fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll see. God damn it. Yeah, so what we're doing, though, today, for the rest of it, fellas, I'm excited about it, is that we're sort of moving officially into this slightly new format for our Act 2, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you describe this, Dave?
A little like, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
But with
Phil, show us his.
Welcome back to the whip around.
But with a lot less, incriminating pictures.
Yes.
I'm putting this on my calendar. I'm marking this day down. In case anyone asks me about it later.
So it is indeed a show and tell episode. All of us brought our own nugget of weird news to explore, to unveil to one another, and to react to.
Yeah,
I believe I'm going first.
Yeah, what do you got, buddy?
And what I got?
What you got,
sucker? As my as my favorite monster of the week from X-Files, one Eugene Victor Toombs once said, and that's the shout out to anybody out there who recognizes Toombs from the X-Files, who's amazing. Do you remember that character?
Sorry, dude.
Look it up. He's amazing. Anyway, as he once said, I like art, and boy howdy, do I have some art news for y'all. How about some sculpture news, boys?
It's not a big hole in the ground,
okay.
Is it?
Sculpture news.
How about some scat news?
No, I don't like that.
Come on.
How about some moose news?
Yeah, I like moose.
Now, how about it's all the same story?
Okay,
I was afraid you were going to say it.
So, someone made a moose out of poop.
Even better, Maine's own Mary Winchenbach.
I had to be fucking Maine.
Winchenbach. Is a rising internet sensation as her moose feces-based art. Oh. That is her mode. That is her mill poo. I just came out of the top of my motherfucking head. Ring the bell! Bastard. Her moose feces-based art and her own company, Turdyworks.
Okay, I support
that.
Turdyworks. Now, interestingly enough, if anybody out there is like hot on the Google already, she actually spells it T-I-R-D-Y. Turdyworks.
Now I don't like it.
Will Scunthorpe come to teach us why she's spelling it that way?
Sound cue, motherfucker.
Possibly.
And she's getting, you know, some attention for this. And I have to say, yeah, it's major league weird. But this woman is amazing. I love this woman. She's going to steal your heart. You're going to love her, too, but let me just get you ready here because I have an audio clip that I'm going to get to. She makes otherwise normal shit. Okay, so now, I'm funnier than I knew, but she, because of poo, because I'm a rhyming poet, motherfucker, too, with a number two. So, yeah,
funny.
She makes normal stuff. So it's not like, you know, the Dietz thing in Beetlejuice where it's like weird interpretive art. It's normal objects, okay? So, for example, do you like cuckoo clocks?
No.
Well, how about a poo-poo clock?
Oh.
Turds.
Is it all pun-generated?
Yes.
Oh.
Turds are placed between each number on the clock. And you know what that means, Phil? There's 12 o'clock, but there's also...
12:30.
12:30. And there's 1 o'clock and 1:30. And I could keep going up to 10 more times. About the fun that she has on this. She makes little figures.
Don't.
She makes little figurines, some with big boobs, some with little boobs, as she puts it, since no two turds come out alike. So the figures are different. She has a sophisticated outlook, though, that could only...
You know what? Unlike the pumpkins, everybody loves each of them.
That only a tried and true Maine resident could explain. Quote, "Everyone takes a crap," she explains. So
Thank
everyone,
God she's here to explain that.
So everyone can relate to that. And she's focused on quality, stating that she aims to, quote, come up with something halfway decent that's funny. You know. She's got a Facebook page, a bustling business model, and if you're worried about her running low on her moose supply, well, I will let her explain. Behold.
The turds are all local. We just go out and track the moose, and wherever the moose are, they're going to take a crap. And I have found that when a moose takes a dump, you walk about 50 yards in any direction, and they take another dump. And when a moose takes a dump, they'll crap out between 200 and 400 turds every time they take a crap. So it's like I get $5 a turd for these things. So I get jumping right up and down. I get excited when I see a turd.
What do you think? What do you think, sirs? Do you love her or what?
Go ahead, Dave. I'm
just
still processing.
Take this from like a more logistical approach. So she wants you to purchase poop from her and put it inside your house.
Oh well, Dave, you can put it anywhere you want.
No, I get it.
You can put it outside, inside. Okay. Put it in a private gallery.
Is it? I'm assuming that she like lacquers it or something.
It does.
I hope it's not just like she's giving you big turd.
What? Well,
I held it together this whole time, but it does look shiny. They all.
They all so look you can smell. Shine a turd.
Yes. I'm fucking crying.
What the hell?
You can't polish a turd. It's so stupid. I'm sorry we do this weird news. This is so stupid.
Okay.
But I love her, and yes, it does look like it's shined up. I'm
okay,
sorry.
So she's not just giving you raw materials.
That is
here?
Correct. And it okay. does appear that moose, they must have a lot of fiber because it's obviously she's not giving you like a sculpture in a cup. This is, you know, it does look dry. It does look solid. It does look polished. This might be the hardest I ever laughed in a show. I'm sorry. Yeah, so that's Dave's take. Phil, what about you?
I mean, listen, your medium is what your medium is. I mean, Sean, you write things.
Same quality.
I mean, my magic is my medium. You know what? Moose turds, just another medium. Good for her. I don't know how I'd feel about putting a moose turd sculpture in my house because it just feels like the cat's going to eat it. But you know what? You made it so easy to purchase something for you for Christmas.
Well, you think you're the only one making a purchase there this Christmas.
This woman is going to get so much business from the Lehigh Valley. Like, what the fuck?
Maybe we can special order something for the whip around.
Oh,
right?
Man. No, wait. I do have one last question about these sculptures.
I'd love to talk about it more.
Is she like squishing the turds together and then carving it, or is she just like stacking them like a golem?
Well, I want you to
totally. I don't think it's totally made out of turds. I think just turd like accents.
Well,
right?
Well, it depends on the piece because like, and I want everyone to go and check it out. I'll be link in the show notes.
There's no way the cuckoo clock's mechanics are like turd gears.
No, it looks kind of like a flat faced clock. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
like
okay,
whatever,
okay,
and then
okay.
It's just like splats of you know. Well, not splats. Like you'll have to appreciate some.
More artistic.
I don't have an art
splats.
Degree. I can't really describe it, but it does look like some of them are just like maybe they're wired together to look like the little figures. Like some of them, it looks like it's on a mobile, to where it's literally hanging from the central piece.
Dingleberries.
There you go. But yeah,
wow.
So Phil, I want you to check it out for yourself.
I really, I
check
want
her
to.
Scatalog for yourself.
Oh!
There you go. There you go. That one's free.
That was solid. Solid. Got it.
See, my theater degree is paying off
there
now,
it was.
Baby.
Nice work. Wow.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
So who wants to go? Who wants to go now? Who wants to be number two? That one's free too, Phil. That's a twofer. Oh, my God. That was a number three.
Am I going now? Am I number two?
Dave, I think you are my number one, number two.
All right, because I want to talk about Ronnie Martin of Long Pond, PA.
Ronnie
who
Martin.
Now
okay.
can buy lots of turd sculptures if he so chooses.
Rich
because
man.
Because Ronnie Martin is a lottery winner.
Oh.
Congratulations, Ronnie Martin. But how he came to his winning numbers is what I really want to talk about. Because one day, Ronnie moseyed on into a Chinese restaurant.
No.
Oh.
Cracked open a fortune cookie.
No way.
Yep. And has been playing those lucky numbers for years. And his commitment to those numbers.
Are you serious?
And how he found those numbers, he was so committed to it, it finally paid off. He won a $1 million jackpot for his commitment to his fortune cookie
wow.
lucky numbers.
Wow, dude. And he knows probably how to say one word in Cantonese.
How many years was he playing this same set of numbers?
Good question, Phil.
He says that he's been playing them for, quote, years. Now,
okay.
Okay.
Well, someone like that, I would believe two. I would believe 50 years of that. What's interesting is whoever is like, this is the fortune I'm sticking with. This is the one.
Must have eaten countless numbers of fortune cookies, right?
I would imagine.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You gotta like a person who is like, effectively, my tradition is that you only get one fortune cookie in your life. That literally is your fortune. That's it. Which I might tell Edie.
You are fated to this one, so choose this one wisely.
I might tell my daughter, like, no, really, that's your fortune. That's it.
So 1 million.
How much does that, like, take home? Do we know? It's actually half, right, that you end up keeping?
If he took lump sum.
Right. Or dim sum. Ah! I'm sorry. I can't stop.
He's on. He's on fire.
Somebody in their car was just like, poo-poo platter. I feel it.
Yeah, for sure.
Sean is actually jumping up in the air, somersaulting and dunking in this room.
That's right. So can I react to this, Dave?
Yeah, please do it.
I have a weird feeling about lottery winners in general, like lottery play, like consistent lottery players. I know some of them are probably fine and they're normal people, but don't you generally get the sense that there's usually a quirky person is doing that? And what I want to know is if this person has played these numbers and won small amounts and this is like the big payoff, but does he have a track record of these numbers,
yeah,
you
question.
Think? I mean, it probably doesn't say so, but do you think
he spent a million over the years?
Exactly, that he should be literally on these numbers. Like maybe
he's got to have a net positive at this point. But the other thing is he doubly lucky? Because I feel like $1 million is like the best amount to win. Like if you win these hundreds of millions of dollars, these people always find a way to just either be broke or in jail or dead or murder. You know,
well, I guarantee you that he'll eventually be dead, dude.
I mean, that's
bad stuff tends to befall. Big lottery.
There's a right way and a wrong way.
You're not going to get all the wackos out of the woodwork coming to you begging for money and stuff like that, like the big time.
I'd like to think that anybody on this show could deal with, you know, several hundred million
dollars. Give me a chance, Coach.
I was going to say, please, if anybody out there wants to give us a chance, I'm happy to.
Yeah,
see
and
if
Dave,
I can deal
since
with
you're
it.
Less than confident, I'll take
yeah.
yours.
Yeah,
if
that's
you
fine.
Want
I'll
to.
Take your share.
I'll do it. I'll bet you all your lottery winnings. But
I did say that they plan to pay off their house and current bills and just put the rest in savings.
Okay,
so
that's
he's not a complete wacko.
No, that's the most rational.
Well,
yeah,
right.
One
Although,
of the most rational.
To date, he's had some signals that might not fully come to fruition.
I mean, good for him for sticking with it. What game was it?
It was Mega Millions, I think.
It would have had to be
so
one
now,
of the big ones.
Mega Millions.
Yeah, it's Mega Millions, yeah.
So, but isn't the jackpot for Mega Millions plural millions? How did he win only one? Did he split it with people? Because I have a thought.
Doesn't it reset to a million after there's a winner?
It's possible.
A lot of people eat at that Chinese restaurant, too.
Or maybe I don't know.
Funny you say that, because adjacent weird news, I know this story of several people in several states winning a multi-state jackpot because there's only like two or three companies that make fortune cookie fortunes, and several people played those numbers and all split the winnings.
Do you think a fortune cookie company, I'm sorry to cut in, do you think a fortune cookie company could successfully say, well, we provided you with those numbers.
Oh.
So we at least want a percentage based on like what we're going to call a consulting fee.
Shit.
We gave you those numbers.
In this case, they might have a good case for that.
Right? Because he's like, those are my numbers. And they could be like, you know what, buddy? Those are our numbers.
They haven't done it in the past, so I don't think that they could.
No, that just means that there isn't currently precedent.
Mm.
Phil, look, I minored in culinary lotto. I think there's tort here, or whatever the fuck it is.
Tort?
Right, lawyers? All right.
So, I have a question. Serious question, simple question, though. Sean, what do you call a group of wolves?
Pack?
Yes. Dave, what do you call a group of geese?
A flock?
Gaggle.
Oh, okay.
Gaggle sure. of geese.
Gaggle. Oh, yeah.
What do you call a group of octopuses?
Walk.
Isn't it like a herd or something?
No.
A patrol.
A rally. Right?
That's a little creepy.
Now, wait. I had to look that up because I've never seen a group of octopuses before, and there's a reason. It's because octopi are incredibly asocial.
Puke and rally, man.
Octopi and rally, man. That sounds like a gross Iron Chef game. Sean is giving me this look like, where are you going? Trust me.
You got me nervous.
Well, but that's because you're the asocial one in the group, really.
Good news is... I don't want to talk about it.
There's the octopus in the room.
That's right.
So researchers said to themselves, well, wait a minute. these octopi are asocial. I wonder if we can help them get over their sort of perceived social anxiety.
Oh, finally, we can help the octopus.
Right. Well, now here's the question. What would you suggest to help us octopi become more social?
Leave it the fuck alone? maybe stop calling it in the middle of the night?
Dave, you got an idea?
What would help an octopus be more so? I don't know. Tie their legs together.
That's kinky.
There you go.
No. It's simple solution. Give it ecstasy.
You say that for everything. That's your solution to everything.
We call it Molly now, Phil.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm sorry. Giving
like
an octopi Molly.
Get him cranked up on that Molly.
So researchers found.
Did they know?
Yes.
This octopus is ended. This is like, these are how. What's the average age of these researchers? 17. How many puka shell necklaces are affiliated with this particular research
squad? Way more than there should be. So what?
How many calf tattoos on this research team?
Also, way too many. So, by the way, we always say, I've always said to our citizens, hey, read the study. This is a really easy one to read through. I've been reading the paper.
It's in crayon.
It's in Current Biology, and it's really kind of awesome. Two researchers are accredited with this, and
Beavis and what's the other one?
Batheed. as it turns out, the octopus genome was just sorted out more or less. So what they noticed was that they have these same receptors as we do, almost exactly, for MDMA.
That seems like a really specific test.
It is a really specific test.
Finally, we've analyzed the entire genome. Hold on, scroll over to the MDMA receptor. Well, eternal life is this way. No.
It sounds like a Scunthorpe project.
Don't they all?
How do we make this octopus much more touchy-feely?
By the way, we got to start a band called the Scunthorpe Project.
So they ended up giving these octopi a whole shit ton of Molly, and what they found out was the octopi became more social.
Well, yeah.
However, the point of doing the whole thing was to find different ways of treating antisocial or anxiety disorders to see if the octopi would respond.
All right. Don't stop me, folks. Here. All right. First,
this is exactly
submerge the anxious person in ocean water. All right. Keep them down there. Now you wait about, a couple minutes. Then you send down the Molly, and then you flood the area with other people down there. Watch them all get along. Guaranteed. All right, well, let me show you this person I crafted together out of body parts that I struck with lightning. Can we do that one? Exhibit B.
Phil, was the next logical leap was we should give people Molly to be more, less, I don't know, socially anxious?
Well, that's the idea.
Because
we already knew
this worked.
It sounds like an excuse to get Molly. Like, you're working backwards from a conclusion. Like, so the answer is we need more Molly in here.
So let me get the octopi.
Discovered this like 20 years ago.
you think that's an Ig Nobel Prize that nobody cares about.
I was going to say, this is an early runner for next year's Ig Nobel. If I heard one, I would be stunned if they didn't win next year. But you know what the funny thing is? They're like, you know what? We already found that this kind of works in rodents. We're going to try it with octopi. And it's like, what the fuck are you people doing?
All right.
Sounds like a waste of money to me, huh?
Well, it sounds like a waste of Molly.
I got to be honest.
Although I like octopodes.
I like rallies.
Yeah. Oh, never say that.
No.
I don't know that I want them doing
a mollied up octopus?
Yeah.
I feel like that's... I mean, people on Molly are touchy-feely. Imagine a person with eight hands on Molly?
No. I won't.
I've seen enough.
although I would like to see an actual rally of humans flooded with Molly. That would be something.
I don't think they'd run anywhere. I think they'd just puddle. I got
okay.
I got not that petered out on that.
Which,
one.
By the way, can I say something?
Yes.
I've heard a lot of people arguing back and forth about the plural of octopus.
I go on.
I just want to say that as an obnoxious linguist,
please,
everyone is a little wrong.
I should have asked you beforehand. What is it?
Because a lot of people get smug and say you're acting like it is a Latinate when it's actually a Greek word derivation. Therefore, it should be octopuses. Whatever. That's not true.
It's actually octopodes.
It should be octopodes if that's going to be what you're saying. So anybody out there who wants to win the argument, tell them, I get it. It's not Latin. It's Greek. But because it's Greek, it should be octopodes.
And then check your pocket protector.
And Dave, is as enthused as I expected he would be with that information.
Yeah, you know, I'm not, but I can't stand that joke anyway. Like the joke of like, I don't know what the word of this plural is, so I just do them all, and then we all kind of chuckle at it. Like, oh, is it octopus or octopi or octopodes?
I always just say at that point, geese? I don't know. I don't care.
It's octopodes.
Geese,
brother.
Gooses.
It's either octopodes. It's either octopodes or you do the Americanism, which is an octopuses, because it's like you croissant-wich it. You croissant-wich it. It's like we don't say quas.
It's just octopus. We don't look at all the octopus.
Because that sounds gross. That sounds pervy. Yours is pervy. Yo, man, what a killer party. Wait till all the octopus get here.
And I hope they bring the Molly, man.
Yeah, dude. So maybe we better transition to a game because we're going we're going off the rails.
It's time for Real or Bullshit.
Oh!
Collective Nouns Edition. I figured you'd appreciate that.
I do. I'm excited. I'm excited for myself. Yeah. And I'm excited for how no one else probably is.
Well, Dave, so you went, oh, yeah, I think you know where I'm going with this. Dave, where am I going?
You're going to name a group of things, and we are going to determine if that name is real or bullshit.
Nailed it.
Okay.
Here we go with real or bullshit. Dave, I'm going to give you a shot first here.
Woo.
Okay. Real or bullshit, a shrewdness of apes.
That's bullshit.
That is real, my friend.
Shrewdness.
No, it's bullshit.
That is real.
Not my science textbook.
That is real.
The shrewdness. I guess because they're supposed
to be. I
feel
like I would have heard that.
Not a herd.
I guess because they're smart.
Sean!
Huh?
A clutch of jellyfish. Real or bullshit?
A clutch? No, that's bullshit. Yeah! What is it, a blob?
A smack of jellyfish.
Okay, you would have fooled me on that too. No matter what you said, I would have said bullshit.
Dave.
Yo.
A league of leopards.
Truth.
Wrong. It's a leap of leopards.
Oh,
close.
You forgot to think of the 12 Days of Christmas science mythology.
12 leopards leap. Oh, God! Sean, a trip of goats.
A trip of goats. Nah, bullshit.
It's real.
No, it's not!
Yes, it is.
I guess because they'll fall like they don't.
Scientists
are smoking some creepy octopus drugs sometimes.
The OED said that some of these go back to like 15th century.
That figures.
So, I mean, you know. Okay, Dave. Mm. A mass of moles.
I just hope it's true. I'm going true!
No!
That's from a medical journal. That's medical journal. Take out a mass of moles, buddy.
That's it. This is not looking
to
good.
To Dave's credit, like that has been said by an oncologist.
Oh, that's horrible. It's actually a labor of moles.
They do work hard.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. Sean, an army of frogs.
Bullshit again.
Real.
Come on.
You guys are
horrible. An army.
We're getting killed here. We're about halfway through. There's one point on the board.
And it's mine. I'm a scientist.
Dave.
Yo.
A plenty of plovers.
Plover?
A plenty of what?
Plovers. It's a type of bird. A plenty of plovers.
Oh, well, I haven't heard of that, so true.
No, I made that one up.
Oh, my God!
It's
a real bird?
It's a real bird. Actually, there are three of these. It could be a wing of plovers, a stand of plovers, or a congregation. Mm. Mm. Sean, a business of ferrets.
Business ferrets? All with their ties and suitcases.
True. Yes!
It's actually real.
They do look business-like, don't they?
They are so goddamn official,
yeah.
Let me tell you. Dave, a song of swallows.
That is true.
No, it's not. It's a flight. It's a flight of swallows.
No, that's a book in the series, right? There's a murder of crows.
That's what I was
saying. That's probably unlike YouPorn and all that stuff. That's what Game of Thrones is.
A song of swallows?
A song of swallows starring whatever, Stormy Daniels.
Sean, I swear I didn't set this up. It just went randomly. I picked Dave.
All right.
A skitter of spiders.
Oh, you're a dickhead either way.
You should know this, right?
I don't think they even talk about them like that. False. Yeah!
It's actually a cluster or a clutter of spiders.
No, it's a fucking nightmare from hell of spiders.
Dave, a flamboyance of flamingos.
Oh, no, I know this one's true.
There it is! He's on the board! He's
Dave
on the board.
One.
You only have to get more than we have left to beat him. So,
yes!
You can do it, Dave.
an unkindness of ravens.
True. Yeah! I know my dark birds.
I figured that one, yeah. Dave, a flight of falcons.
False.
It's a cast of falcons.
We're on fire now.
Yeah. And lastly, I mean, just for a victory lap.
Yeah, man.
A leash of foxes.
No, man, you can't leash no fox.
True.
Yeah! Wait a guys finished hot.
Look at me now, auditorily.
And that's,
in bed.
And that's how we play Real or Bullshit Collective Nouns Edition.
Oh,
Sean, that's the second game you've won in a row.
Yeah, baby.
Because I am lucky. Oh, man. What would you call a group of podcast hosts, by the way? A sadness.
And on that note, we love you, citizens. I hope you had fun playing along. We'll be right back with our sorrow.
Stumped in a podcast.
There it is. John, hand me the flashlight. Hand me the flashlight.
I'm going.
Hurry, here, okay, here, all right, there, here. All right, okay. How did we stop that big boulder from falling on us in the first room of this temple?
Ducked and shit our pants.
Right, we rated the whip around 5 stars on iTunes. Now, in the second room of the temple, the ceiling was coming down and had the spikes on us. How did we stop that thing?
Screamed like girls.
Right, we also left a review, very positive, sounded good, made everybody on the show happy.
Oh, that's right, you're right.
Yes, that's right. Okay, now wait a minute. Last part, we're crossing the bridge is falling down, there are crocodiles beneath us. How do we get out of this one?
Please subscribe.
Holy Deus Ex Dave Machina. Indiana Phil, what do we do now?
We go home, Dr. Sean.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Off we go. Hi.
I just wanted to do something weird to get you back.
Okay. That was wise. That was a good decision. The whip around is back. There's just a few more things to do, but they're amazing things, and you're not going to miss one of them. In fact, if you have the show on like 1.5 or 2x speed,
you
slow it down because
you don't want to auditorily
blink and miss it. Which I guess would be the equivalent of like taking your earlobes and like shoving them into your ears as like an ear blink. Can we make that a thing?
No.
Take the earlobes,
no,
shove them in
that.
Your
no.
ear hole. That's an ear blink.
Hmm.
And we've got a couple things. The first thing we wanted to do was turn to Dave, who is always entertained by my antics, if we can get him to stop.
Can you hear him rolling his eyes, people?
Dave, talk about sister shows. How are things going on Podadelphia? How was this week?
Yeah, Podadelphia is going great.
Philly sports.
This week it felt very whip-around-ish as we were talking about Gritty, the mascot. He's sort of a cryptozoological creature.
Well said.
That I think would fit right in with all of us and all of our weird
stories. He's in our
next
bracket contest there.
Yeah.
Things like that. All the googly-eyedness. And then, you know, the Eagles have been struggling and the Phillies have been terrible. So we've all been commiserating and helping each other as a community, get through this difficult time. So, you know, if you're feeling a little angst about the sports landscape in the Delaware Valley, give Podadelphia a listen. We'll make you feel better.
It's a good time. It's actually getting funnier each episode.
At least you'll have someone to bitch
credit.
With. I mean, it's that too.
That's true. And also just the personalities are gelling in
They're
a way.
Funny.
I mean, these guys have known each
They're
other
funny.
Forever. It's the quality of that relationship is starting to pay off in the banter on air.
Well, you know, it's almost like if you give it a year or 50 episodes.
Oh. You're so good.
I'm a friggin' segue machine.
You're so
I'm
good.
A segue machine.
You're goddamn sexual about that shit.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that, Phil?
Oh, I thought you were supposed to talk about that.
No.
Well, I'm supposed to talk about
yeah, so keep going.
The 50th episode after you talk about something else. But
yeah, Dave's right.
Look, we got
you're
the,
out of order,
we've
sir.
Got the, this whole
you're out of order, sir.
Is out of order.
This whole podcast is
I just said that.
Let's get all the Dave stuff out of the way.
Yeah, you keep talking.
We're coming up on our 50th episode. What, next week?
It is next week. Is officially the 50th. There's been a double episode here. There's been a
Lemonade Jort there.
A Jort there that we had some technical problems. But yeah.
50 straight weeks.
Yeah, man.
Of whip aroundness.
Of whip aroundity.
Whip aroundtitude.
How far
reliable
we've come.
Whip around delivery.
Yeah.
To your inbox Wednesday mornings.
Yeah.
That's something. That's not nothing.
That's the opposite of nothing, right?
That's
there.
Definitely.
We've never missed. We've never. Though there have been challenges, we've never gone dark.
Yeah.
For a week.
And thanks to your surveys, now soon to be available wherever you get your podcasts.
Good
from.
Lord, see, he's so good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
My podcast from CBS.
Okay, almost every.
My nephew does my podcast for me.
Dave, that's where you get your porn. All right, sorry. Doing my toothless voice. Okay, we've said it. We've been hyping it for weeks. And guess what? It's time to draw three names from the stack of names. So three lucky citizens are going to be drawn, and we're going to hand out three $20 Amazon gift cards.
Get a hold of us.
I was going to say, everybody that's here, I have their email addresses. I will reach out, expect an email from thewhiparound@gmail.com and or a message on Facebook if we know you're on Facebook from us to get in touch. We'll get an address. We'll mail it out to you in the next week or two. Okay?
Fucking A.
Fucking A. Here we go.
We'll have our minions mail it out.
Yes, and everybody who took the survey, you're all winners to us.
Not to Dave so much.
He's got high standards. Yeah. That's okay. Here we go. First winner.
This is exciting.
And I don't have a last name on this one, but his name is Chris, and I do have the email address.
All right. Well, don't read the email address
out.
Yeah,
because we don't want people reaching out to Chris.
We'll be reaching out to...
You have Chris's social security number you can give
us. Chris.
Also, we will be reaching out to a Chris in the near future.
Yeah.
And I don't recognize that email address, so I assume he's one of your friends.
Oh, why? Because we don't have listeners that are personal friends?
I don't...
What's the matter with you, man? You want to clap to help me know when to come back from where I'm going to fucking cut this? Not applaud, you fucking troglodyte! Knuckle dragon scientist, yeah?
This is the best episode ever. Second name. Citizen Chad Zivic.
All right.
Getting 20. And then the last one.
First of all, congratulations to these two. Can I pick the last one? I mean, we could say Dave. You just picked for Dave because he can't through the computer.
Yes. And then I can let you feel. You can take it off the top.
I know what choice means. I don't know anymore.
See?
Handmaid's Tale and something. All right. Are we ready? Dave, we're gonna do a magic trick with the last one. You're going to tell me when to stop.
Look at that.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Do the riffling near the mic.
All right, stop.
Okay. Here we go.
It's upside down.
The final one is, I don't know what this language is. Tom Lee.
Yay!
Mr., I assume, I don't mean to be that person about pronouns, but Mr. Tom Lee, the third name chosen.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get in touch with everybody. If for some reason you guys don't get in touch with me in like a week or two, because I'm assuming you're going to hear your names on air.
We'll do another drawing.
I was going to say, I'll draw for anybody or for any that don't get claimed. So, but I have a feeling not, but I will be in touch with everybody on the way. So thank you, listeners. Congratulations to our winners.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we've got three winners.
And we've got three for the road.
We segued the whole show. Everything that is segued.
This is like a Monty Python podcast. Everything is just so well. And what's funny is it's, you know, we did not plan this or it would never have worked.
I would not be this excited if we planned it.
Yes, nipple reference. But what's going to happen now is we're going to do three things 30 seconds apiece that either didn't fit with the theme of the show or we didn't have time to talk about during the major arc of the show. We each get 30 seconds. Yes, so once that time is up, you will hear something a lot like this. And that is Desi the Decibel saying it is time to shut the hell up and move on to the next person. We go round and round like that three times, and then that's it. That's the show, and we will send you off on your merry way to listen to podcasts that are not this belly laughical.
Oh, hell
right?
Yeah.
I hope you didn't ear blink right through that. But we decided I'm going to go first, and it's going to go Phil, it's going to go me, it's going to go Dave. So, am I wrong? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, you go first, and then me, and then Dave, but whatever. Are you ready,
Sean?
Are you ready?
Me, and then Phil, and then Dave. No?
Just go already!
All right, so Lucifer's Fingers, Sea Treat of the Stars. If you've got 115 bucks just itching to get out of your wallet, seafood fans, may I present to you Lucifer's Fingers, the newest, strangest ocean-based delicacy available in Spain and Portugal for the right price, sometimes called truffles of the sea. Gooseneck barnacles cannot be farmed and are found only in a few intertidal zones where strong waves and steep cliff faces make finding these hideous penile monsters hard, getting to them deadly. Hunters risk getting crushed against the rocks by crashing waves and being rendered unconscious. I say cut the middleman and just eat your nearest scuba diver.
Out of Port St. Lucie, Florida, a teacher this past week, name of Diane Tirado, was fired after she refused to give students 50% for work they did not turn in. Apparently, the district has a no zeros policy, even for work that isn't turned in. The idea behind the no zero policy is that it's impossible to make up a zero. You know what? I'm sorry. If you don't turn it in, you don't get any credit. Not 50% credit. No credit. You know what? They say that give the students the option of making up the work or catching up. You know what? No, you have the option of failing too.
Hey, just another Tales from the Deli Counter story from your good friend Dave here at the grocery store. I was at the grocery store on Saturday morning and I pulled a 7 from the deli counter. I went around to purchase some produce while I was waiting. And I came back and they called my number and I stepped up and then someone else said, 6 here. Ooh. And he gave his ticket in. And I said to the woman behind the counter, I said, are you sure? Because I think this other woman was 6. And then she took a closer look at the ticket and he tried to hand her a 9.
What the hell is happening?
Oh, douche.
I got some kind of sign on my back that says sucker, but you're not getting one past me at the deli counter, buddy.
All right. In next stop divorce news, an unhappy Indian woman, reportedly sick of her husband's ugly face, bit his tongue off when he tried to kiss her. The couple had been married for 2 years, which apparently was 10 years too many, as apparently, according to friends, she used to call him a dog, slap him, and hit him with shoes. The bite occurred after the man tried to calm his 8-month pregnant wife down mid-fight with a soul kiss. And the woman was arrested, and he was rushed to the hospital due to severe bleeding. Unfortunately, Casanova had to give police a written statement for obvious reasons, and exactly who called the cops given his problems remains unclear.
Piggybacking off the previous one, in Psychology Today a couple weeks ago, an article was posted that pointed out that students today are less resilient than they used to be. Big shock. Mm. Students today experience more senses of helplessness, and they are more needy. It's putting pressure on the faculty who feel the need to do more handholding and are fearful that they are going to have to lower standards in order to get students to pass or even to try. And you know what? That kind of piggybacks off the last story, doesn't it? Maybe we actually need to hold students to these standards and actually get them to do some work. Teachers, hold the line!
So I'm inspired by this protest that's going on in England right now where people are sending potato chip bags through the mail back to the potato chip companies to protest their non-biodegradability of their packaging. Oh. Well, I would like to just share with you a protest that I've been doing for a long time involving credit card companies. So when a credit card company sends you something in the mail, just go ahead and take out the self-addressed stamped envelope that they included with, and then just put all the trash that they include.
Is he doing it?
It's
happening now.
It back into the envelope, lick it shut, and put it right back in your mailbox, and you don't even have to deal with it anymore. And then all those poor schmoes of the credit card companies get to open it up and go, oh, someone sent us back trash. Thanks.
Have you heard about the new street drug? It's called fucking snakes. Because apparently, poisonous serpents can get you high.
Oh,
and this seems
God.
Fucking safe news. An unnamed Indian man was used as the key bit of evidence in a report on drug trends published in the Indian Journal of Psychiatric Medicine. Evidently, the man has severe substance abuse problems and went all parcel face for a cheap substitute for opioids. His method is to let a snake, a cobra, he thinks, but why get anal about the details, bite him right in the dang tongue. He apparently gets woozy, spasms, and passes out. When he wakes up, it's like he's on a cheap heroin high, and people say humans are hopeless.
Darwin is sleeping on the job. Speaking of hopeless humans, there is a young up-and-coming preacher who I don't even want to... I should, just so you can look up. Matt Powell is a 22-year-old budding hate preacher. I'm going to quote it right out of that article. He's been quoted as saying women should stop dressing like whores, all atheists are coke-drinking video game addicts, and recently on an interview he claimed that humans hunted dinosaurs during the Civil War with a straight face, citing a picture that I actually recognized as being from a Photoshop contest. And they say humans are hopeless.
Hey, shout out to the video game streamer Cosmic, who this week set the new speed record for Super Mario Brothers. at 4 minutes and 55 seconds. I'm going to post the link here.
What?
So check it out. But even more props is he made an hour-long video dissecting the speed run, showing you all of the difficult jumps, all of the glitches you can exploit, and it's actually fascinating to watch. Riveting television. I don't know. I definitely would encourage you to check it out. It's pretty cool.
I have seen speedruns of Super Mario.
Hit the bell for ceremony's sake, but what was the time on that?
4 minutes, 55 seconds.
Wow. I've seen a couple speedruns. They are impressive, the skill and the precision. It's pretty – even if you're not a video game person, to see someone go through a game and to knock it out that accurately – It's astonishing to see
playing,
some of them.
He's playing on a Super Famicom, so it's like
really?
Or just a Famicom, I guess. Yeah. It's legit. It's like the original hardware and everything.
Hey, Phil.
Yep.
Hey, Phil. Some emulator bullshit.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, Sean, what's up?
You give me the speed runs. So that has been our show.
Wow.
Has been Segway-tastic so far.
I mean...
We hope to see you again next week, because, again, it is our 50th episode. So tell a friend, tell a spouse, tell a silly danger mouse. My book of poetry, Stupid Shit by a Dumbass, will be coming out from Nobody Press. Anyway, come check us out. This has been a boatload of fun. You can reach us, of course, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Thewhiparound@gmail.com is our email address. Be on the lookout. I'm sure there'll be another contest soon, but thank you again to our winners. Thank you again to Simca Griffin for last week guesting on the show. Am I forgetting anything, boys, before we do our little sign off?
Thank you guys for having fun with us.
Yeah, thank you for listening and downloading. Don't forget to rate and subscribe. It really does help the show and help our morale. This has been fun, right, Dave?
If you say so, Sean.
Well, here's what I'll also say. Hey, listener, we love you. Bye.
Best we ever did it, guys!
I didn't have a segue to finish the show. So.
Shit.
No, that was the first.
We started again.
Fuck it, we'll do it over.
Welcome to the Whip Around! It does look shiny. They all look,
they all so look you can familiar. Shine a turd.
That's right. I'm fucking crying.